WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a stunning gain in the jobs market. The Labor Department says employers added 336,000 positions in September. That's up from 180,000 the month before. The takeaway for John Waldman at Home Base?
Well, we've been on a long road to recovery. We're starting to get to a bit of a more normal place than what we've seen in every part of the labor market over the last 3 years.
Unemployment held steady at 3.8%, strongest jobs gains in leisure and hospitality, government, and health care. An update on the health care strike.
Today's day three and scheduled to be the last day of the walkout by thousands of health care workers at Kaiser Permanente.
We're looking for wages that keep up with the cost of inflation. You know, every single one of our members knows somebody who is working 10, 20, 30 hours, or they themselves are working that kind of overtime just to make ends meet.
Caroline Lucas of the Coalition of Kaiser Permanente Unions.
They are burnt out.
There's been no movement reported in other ongoing strikes by auto workers and film and TV actors. Tom Foti, CBS News.
The Biden administration insists extending barriers at the southern border doesn't change a thing. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas at a meeting on the issue in Mexico.
Our policy remains as it was since day one. We are opposed to the construction of the wall.
He says the Biden administration is legally bound to build more wall because of money allocated by Congress during the Trump administration. Biden officials are also planning to restart deportations of Venezuelan migrants. People who live in the Northeast are in for another soaking. Tropical Storm Philippe is aimed at Bermuda right now, on a path that's eventually expected to lead it to the U.S. Odyssey meteorologist Craig Allen.
While not necessarily tropical in structure, it's still going to bring wind, rain, and rough surf to many portions of the New England coastline, anywhere from Cape Cod right on up through portions of Boston and into Maine.
The former University of Southern California gynecologist accused of sexually abusing hundreds of patients has died in L.A. KCAL-TV's Mike Rogers.
George Schindel was found dead in his condo, his L.A. area condo. The 76-year-old was not answering a phone call from a friend. He's home out on parole awaiting his hearing. And when the friend couldn't get a hold of him, that's when he went over to the condo to check on him and found him dead.
No word on the cause. Changes for Girl Scout cookie lovers.
The new cookies are dipped in the same chocolatey coating.
The organization's pausing sales of Thin Mints crispy cookie sister, the Raspberry Rally, to focus on classic varieties and thank inflation for a $1 or $2 increase in prices this year. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Venture Civic X. Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes released a lengthy statement Thursday refuting multiple parts of a report that is leading to a vote next week to remove him from office. The report says Hakes didn't do parts of his job and profited from his role as sheriff by selling real estate and other items on the side and had inappropriate communication with a coworker. Hakes denied most of the allegations and said the report was politically motivated. The Chippewa County Board will vote on Tuesday whether to remove him as sheriff. One board member has already called for Hakes to resign. A man is seriously hurt after being trapped inside of a combine that had rolled over Wednesday in Trumbull County. The sheriff's office said that the 48-year-old man was driving north on a road near Arcadia when he went to turn off of the road, but went into the ditch instead. The combine then rolled over and pinned the man inside. He was flown to a hospital with serious injuries. Today's weather, cloudy with scattered showers, highs only getting into the low 50s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Station. Black roof country, no gold payments, tired starlings. Silver horses ran down moonbeams in your dark eyes. Dawnlight smile on you leaving my contentment.
Back to the Stu Daniels Show. 8 minutes after 9 o'clock right now on this Friday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. And we've got 51 degrees in Richland Center right now. It is 44 degrees in Amory. And listening to music from Cream. Yeah, White Room. There's a classic for you going back to the 1960s. And speaking of Cream, it was on this date in 2019. That drummer Ginger Baker passed away, one of the great rock and roll drummers of all time. In fact, most would say more of a jazz drummer than a rock and roll drummer. He put up with that rock and roll stuff, though, and showed a lot of people how to play drums. Hey, getting to our next story now. I have here a story about Cassidy Hutchinson. Have you seen her on TV recently? She's been on lots of different television shows, the daytime talk shows and the news programs, and she's even making the rounds on late night television. And she said, she revealed that the former president, Donald Trump, has a very potent fear. Have you heard about this? I have a story here from HuffPost with a headline that says Cassidy Hutchinson reveals a very potent fear of Trumps. This piece was posted yesterday at HuffPost.com. It says, former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson says Donald Trump is terrified of being poisoned. She shared the tidbit with Jimmy Kimmel on Wednesday after he asked her how often the former president threw ketchup at the wall, sending her into a fit of laughter. Quote, Donald Trump has a, I don't know if you know this, I don't know, maybe people know, but he does have a very potent fear of being poisoned, she said. So he uses and prefers the small Heinz glass ketchup bottles because he likes to hear his valet or whoever is serving him his meal. He likes to hear the pop. You know what she's talking about, right? The pop of the lid of the bottle on a new bottle popping open. So Jimmy Kimmel said he always assumed it was because, quote, he always assumed the reason why he liked the little ketchup bottles was because his hands were so little, it would seem like a real ketchup bottle to someone with small hands. Kimmel asks, do you think he got his fear of being poisoned from all of the ex-wives? Or is it Russia? Hutchinson quipped back. No, I don't think Russia is poisoning him, Kimmel cracked. Trump's fear was also reported in 2018 by journalist Michael Wolff, who wrote in his book, Fire and Fury, Inside the Trump White House, that Trump's longtime fear of being poisoned was part of the reason he liked to eat at McDonald's. Hutchinson, who served as a top aide to Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, testified before the January 6th committee last year that in a December 2020 meltdown, which of course would be after the election, but while he was still in the White House, Trump flung his lunch across a room, leaving shattered dishes on the ground and ketchup dripping down the wall. She said he did so after learning that then Attorney General Bill Barr told the press there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud in that year's presidential election. Hutchinson appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live as she promotes her book called Enough. Yeah, poison ketchup. Anyway, that's one of the issues that the former president is dealing with. He does have many other issues that he's dealing with right now. And one of the things that we're all dealing with at the moment is the fact that our government can't get anything done right now because Republicans don't have a Speaker of the House in place. As you know, Kevin McCarthy got the boot. And so now they're trying to decide who's going to be the next Speaker of the House. I have an interesting story here from Rolling Stone with a headline that says Trump keys on Jim Jordan's wrestling history in speaker endorsement. Do you know Jim Jordan, the congressman from Ohio? Kind of a wild guy, always upset and worked up over something. And evidently, Trump is endorsing him for his choice as Speaker of the House. The subheadline at this Rolling Stone story says the former president lauded the Ohio congressman's athletic record, omitting the scandal at the center of his coaching career. You probably heard that story too, right? About things going on at Ohio State that Jim Jordan evidently just overlooked. This piece was just posted this morning at rollingstone.com. It says Donald Trump has thrown his support behind Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan in the race to replace former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. In his endorsement, the former president largely skipped over highlighting Jordan's record in government, instead choosing to laud his achievements as a collegiate wrestler. So why would the president skip over Jordan's record in government and talk about him being a wrestler back in college? Here's a quote from Trump. This is what he wrote just today on Truth Social. He said, Congressman Jim Jordan has been a star. By the way, the word star is all capital letters. Congressman Jim Jordan has been a star long before making his very successful journey to Washington, D.C. So much is learned from sports, and Jim was a master! Exclamation point. Trump added before diving into a crash course on Jordan's wrestling achievements from his high school years through college. The former president did include a throwaway line on Jordan's position near the end of his endorsement, quote, he is strong on crime, borders, our military and veterans, and the Second Amendment, Trump wrote. And the story from Rolling Stone goes on and it says, of course, Trump left out what is probably the defining story of Jordan's wrestling career, accusations from former wrestlers that as a wrestling coach at Ohio State University, Jordan turned a blind eye to allegations that team physician Richard Strauss was sexually abusing young men under his supervision. Jordan denies ever having knowledge of abuse by Strauss, but at least six students who wrestled under Jordan have stated the congressman knew of Strauss's actions and failed to act upon them. Again, that's at least six students. In 2021, Jordan was named as a defendant in a class action lawsuit against the university and staff members accused of covering up the abuse. The Ohio wrestling scandal and the allegations against Jim Jordan became public in the summer of 2018 and cast a shadow over Jordan's first attempt at securing the speakership as a replacement for former House Speaker Paul Ryan. Days before, Jordan announced his entrance into the race, which he would ultimately lose to Kevin McCarthy. Ryan, our own Paul Ryan, publicly stated that he felt no need for Congress to launch an ethics investigation into the claims about Jordan's tenure at Ohio State. Despite Ryan's dismissal of an investigation, the growing scandal plagued coverage of Jordan's run. So Trump himself defended Jordan at the time the scandal broke, outright telling reporters that he didn't believe the wrestlers who accused the Ohio congressman of covering up the misconduct at all. The former president seems eager to involve himself in the process of electing a new Speaker of the House. Trump is reportedly considering making an in-person visit to the Capitol to discuss the matters with lawmakers and has even entertained assuming the position himself. Interesting that Trump would perhaps return to the scene of the crime where the insurrection took place, the Capitol riot. Now he's going back. Drama of the highest, it's of the highest kind, right? It's hard to believe some of the things we read. Will Trump go back to the Capitol? Will he become the Speaker of the House? We'll see. 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's going to be cloudy and windy with scattered off and on showers possible here through the day today. We'll get to 49 for a high. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to around 30 at times. Tonight, mostly clear, 35. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 52. By Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Be a song about an ET, right? An extraterrestrial, stranger in a strange land. I've got a story about that in just a second. Let me give you some updated temperatures. Eau Claire, 47 degrees right now. Hayward, 41 degrees. And that's music from Margot Price, by the way, Stranger in a Strange Land. If you spot a stranger in a strange land, you could win $1 million. Do you have a Ring doorbell camera? Well, there's a contest, and I have here information on how to enter a $1 million competition for recording extraterrestrial activity on a Ring device. This is from USA Today, posted yesterday. It says here that Ring is showing that their surveillance cameras record more than just suspicious human and animal activity. They're also ready to capture any extraterrestrial beings. The home security company has announced their $1 million search for extraterrestrials competition, where they encourage users to film an extraterrestrial sighting with their Ring device. The company announced on Wednesday. The contest, open only to Americans at least 18 years old, is to capture, quote, unaltered scientific evidence of a real extraterrestrial life form with a Ring device. One winner will receive the grand prize of $1 million, awarded with $50,000 payments a year for two decades, the company said. Quote, customers all over the world capture life's unexpected and delightful moments through their Ring video doorbells and cameras. Now you could be rewarded for catching an otherworldly sighting, Ring said in a press release. Quote, whether it's a video of an extraterrestrial walking or flying up your driveway and asking for directions, or an unidentifiable life form exhibiting unusual and extraordinary behavior in your backyard, submit your best footage with an exclamation point. Videos must be submitted by November 3rd at 11:59 p.m. No purchase is necessary to submit your footage. A space and extraterrestrial expert will review all video submissions that meet contest requirements and submission criteria to decide if the footage is undoubtable evidence of an extraterrestrial life form, according to Ring. And by the way, don't you think that if someone had some of that footage already, that they would have already come forward with the footage, even if they weren't going to get $1 million? I would think so. If I owned a Ring video doorbell and I had footage of an ET outside on my yard, I would have spoken up a long time ago. But if you want to apply for the $1 million sighting competition, all you have to do is submit surveillance footage for the contest at ringmilliondollarsighting.com before the November 3rd deadline. Good luck. I hope you win the $1 million. If you do, give me a call and let me know. It is 27 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock. Going to take a break. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News special report, a big surprise in the newest report on jobs. Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
Payrolls growth came in about twice the amount expected at 336,000. The unemployment rate remains at 3.8%, which is regarded as still historically low.
Notable gains for the month of September were in leisure and hospitality, government and healthcare. John Waldman at Home Base.
I think this report is showing that we have a healthy economy that is normalizing a bit from the last few years.
Hamrick says the Fed will take note of the new numbers.
The Federal Reserve looks at this and sees the job market remaining robust and will be eager to see the forthcoming data on inflation ahead of their scheduled announcement on interest rates November 1st.
The Dow down 100 in early trading, S&P off 20. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes released a lengthy statement Thursday refuting multiple parts of a report that is leading to a vote next week to remove him from office. The report says Hakes didn't do parts of his job and profited from his role as sheriff by selling real estate and other items on the side and had inappropriate communication with a coworker. Hakes denied most of the allegations and said the report was politically motivated. The Chippewa County Board will vote on Tuesday whether to remove him as sheriff. One board member has already called for Hakes to resign. A man is seriously hurt after being trapped inside of a combine that had rolled over Wednesday in Trumbull County. The sheriff's office said that the 48-year-old man was driving north on a road near Arcadia when he went to turn off of the road, but went into the ditch instead. The combine then rolled over and pinned the man inside. He was flown to a hospital with serious injuries. Today's weather, cloudy with scattered showers, highs only getting into the low 50s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
How many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years must a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see?
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:34, almost 9:35 right now. And we have 50 degrees in La Crosse, 51 degrees in Richland Center. Music from Peter, Paul, and Mary, doing Bob Dylan on a Friday morning. And let me ask you this, how's your health insurance? Are you happy with the health insurance you have? Do you have health insurance? How do you get it? Is it affordable? You know, it seems like the Democrats have been trying to get people insured health insurance for about the past 100 years. And it seems like every time they move forward, it seems like Republicans want to draw it back. For some reason, Republicans don't like the idea of people having health care. Unless they get it from their company or unless they're rich and they can afford it. You know, the United States is the only developed nation in the world where people don't have health care, where it's not guaranteed. In most countries, if you have an issue, you have an ailment, you go to the doctor, you get fixed, you get your meds or whatever you need, and you're on your way. There is no bureaucratic, no bureaucracy making millions, if not billions of dollars off of the fact that people get sick and need health care, like there is in the United States, where we have insurance companies that are just raking in the cash, CEOs raking in the cash. Everybody is making money off the fact that humans need health care. So what are we going to do about it? And what can we do about it? I have a story here just posted at The Nation, with a headline that calls it The Great Medicaid Unwinding. Millions of Americans lost their coverage earlier this year when a pandemic-era policy expired. The consequences are detrimental to the very practice of medicine. This piece was written by Adam Gaffney, who is a doctor. He says Ronald Reagan's ascent to the presidency delivered a swift kick to the nation's poor, especially those who had the misfortune to get sick. His administration's 1981 budget imposed deep cuts on Medicaid, adding to financial pressures on states to narrow eligibility and punting some 600,000 beneficiaries out of the program early in the decade. A 1983 study in the New England Journal of Medicine examined the health consequences of Medicaid cuts in California, where coverage was eliminated for 270,000 people. One study subject who lost coverage died of a brain bleed. She couldn't afford the blood pressure lowering medications that might have prevented it. Another died of a stomach ulcer. He spit up blood for 10 days before seeking care, fearing emergency room bills. A third person died of a probable heart attack. He ran out of heart medications, which he couldn't afford to refill. This episode is of more than historic interest. We are now about 6 months into our own version of what experts are calling a great Medicare or Medicaid unwinding. In April, the pandemic-era continuous coverage provision, which compelled states to keep Medicaid beneficiaries continuously insured for the duration of the COVID-19 public health emergency, greatly boosting enrollment, expired. This has already led to the disenrollment of nearly 8 million beneficiaries from the program with predictable results. For example, Patricia Jones, a 62-year-old West Virginia woman with heart problems and a recent bloodstream infection, was recently dropped from Medicaid because the $1,765 a month that she was getting in disability survivors benefits after her husband died in March was $149 too high to qualify, the Washington Post recently reported, and she has yet to find alternative coverage. Experts predict that as many as 24 million enrollees might lose their coverage by the time the unwinding is done. So these giant numbers dwarf the coverage losses of the early 1980s, and widespread harm is sure to follow. But the so-called Medicaid unwinding isn't as new as it may seem. Before the pandemic, large numbers of people lost Medicaid coverage every year, thanks to shifting eligibility at the margins and administrative snafus. This feature, which is inherent to many means-tested programs, has always compromised coverage and caused suffering for those who depend on this critical program. Such discontinuities in coverage are all too common in the fragmented American insurance system, and they undermine the very essence of what medical care can do. I practice ICU medicine. Again, this is the doctor who wrote the story. I practice ICU medicine in Massachusetts, a state where only 2.5% of residents are uninsured, and which might hence be counted as the ultimate American health coverage success story. I no doubt see less medical deprivation than my colleagues in states like Texas, where the uninsured rate hovers around 18%. Still, I see how discontinuities in coverage entrenched by a patchwork system affect my patients' lives. Those gaps can precipitate potentially deadly ruptures of care, inability to fill an insulin prescription because of a lapse or change in coverage, for instance, can provoke acute, even life-threatening diabetic emergencies that land a patient in the intensive care unit. Even when coverage interruptions aren't acutely life-threatening, they invariably detach patients from the healthcare system and erode the ongoing mutual project that ought to be the bedrock of effective medical care. Most of the benefits of modern healthcare, after all, emerge not from emergency care provided in places like emergency rooms or intensive care units, as important as that is. Rather, health is protected through long-standing therapeutic relationships between patients and primary care physicians that allow medical problems to be recognized and chronic problems carefully managed. Patients with untreated high blood pressure who are excluded from such care, for instance, may experience a slow and silent deterioration of their kidney and heart function until the day fluid fills their lungs and they wind up in an intensive care unit seeing someone like me. Ongoing relationships with trusted primary care providers can likewise help assure many of the safety or the urgency of interventions like COVID-19 vaccination. Those excluded may pay the price, winding up with severe life-threatening COVID pneumonia in the intensive care unit. Numerous studies bear this out. One study, for instance, found that about a quarter of low-income individuals experience coverage disruptions over the course of a year. Individuals with such interruptions in coverage are more likely to have to change doctors or prescriptions, to skip doses of their medications, to go to the emergency room, or to report worse health compared to those with continuous coverage. Even though the COVID-19 vaccines were free, colleagues and I found that health coverage and access to care are associated with higher booster uptake. Another of our studies identified a sharp rise in hospitalizations for diabetic emergencies when teens became young adults in the United States, a time of frequent coverage disruptions, but not in Canada, where insurance is universal and seamless across the life course. Other work highlights the critical importance of a relationship with a primary care physician, precluded by lapses or even changes in coverage. A clinical trial published decades ago found that older veterans who were randomized to continuous primary care, that is, seeing the same provider regularly, spent fewer days in the hospital and the intensive care unit than those who were randomized to discontinuous care. This year, a quasi-experimental study found that when Medicare beneficiaries lose their primary care physician, they experience a 3% increase in hospital admissions and a jaw-dropping 4% increase in mortality. Medical care that is disjointed and discontinuous, that is to say, may not amount to care at all. Since its inception, Medicaid has been on the front lines of the battle for an American welfare state. In 1964, Democrats swept the midterm elections, giving them the congressional majorities they needed to finally realize long-fought-for health care reform. And then the following year, President Lyndon Johnson signed both Medicare and Medicaid into law. So it's good that we have those, but it does appear that many people are losing their coverage right now. When are we going to get universal health care in the United States? Imagine how much money could be saved if we didn't have to support the insurance companies and the executives who run them. 9:46, going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Well, I'm sorry for the things that I told you. Words only go so far. And if I had my way, I would reach into heaven and I'd pull you down a star. For a present, and I'd make you a chain out of diamonds and pearls from a summer sea. But all I can give you is a kiss in the morning and a sweet apology. Well, I know that it hasn't been easy, and I haven't always been around to say the right words or to hold you in the morning or to help you when you're down. I know I never showed you much of a good time, but baby, things are gonna change. I'm gonna make up for all of the hurt I brought. I'm gonna love away all your pain. And tomorrow's gonna be a brighter day. There's gonna be some changes tomorrow.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's going to be cloudy and windy with scattered off and on showers possible here through the day. Today, we'll get to 49 for a high. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to around 30 at times. Tonight, mostly clear, 35 tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy, 52 by Sunday. Partly cloudy with a high of 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Is a world worth keeping. It's music from Jamie Wyatt. And it's an important statement, right? This is a world worth keeping. And yet we continue to destroy it. 9:53, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 49 degrees in Eau Claire, 41 in Hayward. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I have a story here that says, in the summer of 2023, no matter where you lived, it was difficult to ignore how our shifting climate has upended many rites of the season. Few parts of the country were spared. Children at summer camps stayed inside. People worked and played outside late at night. Some considered moving to escape the worst effects. Now, many Americans are looking to their future summers and wondering if they will ever be the same. So the headline in this story from the New York Times says, Why Summers May Never Be the Same. The globe's warmest months on record redefined summer for many Americans. This piece at the Times is from Julie Bozeman, and under her byline it says, Reporting from Chicago, where it is 84 degrees in October. This piece was posted yesterday. It says, It felt like the opening minutes of a disaster movie. This summer, Trevor O'Donnell, 64 years old, had been reading the cascade of news about extreme weather. Wildfire smoke covering the country, deadly flooding in unexpected places, record-breaking heat. To Mr. O'Donnell, a tourism executive, who splits his time between Palm Springs, California, and Douglas, Michigan, American life now resembled a scene straight out of a Hollywood film when the hero's family is making breakfast as alarming television news bulletins play in the background. There's an ominous feeling, he said. You notice that something's fundamentally off. It just struck me that what we're experiencing right now is so similar to that prelude. Globally, average temperatures broke a string of monthly records this summer, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. June was the warmest June. July, the warmest July. And August was the warmest August. September was also, by a record margin, the warmest September, the European Union Climate Monitor said this week. As humans continue adding greenhouse gases to the atmosphere, record-breaking heat will become even more common, as will extreme weather events like droughts, wildfires, and floods. This summer alone, floods ravaged Vermont and upstate New York. The seawater in South Florida was so hot, it felt like a jacuzzi. Choking smoke from vast Canadian wildfires enveloped the skies over the Northeast and Midwest. Even the mosquito population in Texas suffered. In cities like New York and Chicago, a wave of summer-like temperatures flowed into September and October. To many Americans, the season felt like a climate inflection point, a peek at what the country is facing in the future, and a new definition of summer. This was the summer that Marianne Ginger, 76 years old, welcomed her son, his wife, and their two small boys to live with her in Greensboro, North Carolina, while they got settled in the state for his new job. I kept saying, "You're North Carolina boys now. Children play outside. We're going to the park," she said. And I'd walk out the door and the heat would slam me. The state was setting records for high temperatures. The boys, age 5 and 2, seemed to wilt in the sun and soupy humidity. They were like little water lilies without water, Ms. Ginger said. No one, it seemed, was enjoying the kind of summer that Ms. Ginger remembered from growing up in Greensboro, where she has lived since she was a toddler. Back then, there was less development, more trees, fewer asphalt parking lots, making her feel like she was broiling in a skillet. Now she has been thinking about how extreme weather is upending the definition of childhood. In cities across the country, the institutions that define the lives of children, park districts, schools, summer camps, have struggled to adapt. Oh man, I wish we weren't out of time. 9:58, got to wrap it up for today, but it's something to think about. Hey, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you learned something today and do something nice for someone today. And I'll see you back here Monday morning, 8 o'clock.
This is my home. This is where I belong. Oh, yeah. Where I belong.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. event. The pins still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The ants are coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.